Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 15 is where we'll begin. Of the sermon this morning will be one verse. I haven't yet decided what I'm going to do. I've been speaking in Matthew for a long time. I certainly will continue, but I might pull aside and talk about the subject of worship. I think there's a very good possibility that I will discuss the subject of worship over the next few weeks in Sunday morning. So this morning will be the introduction. Let's all stand. Hebrews 10. The sermon is going to be from verse 19. But I think the whole book of Hebrews leads here, so we will start with verse 15. Whereof, the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and into their minds will I write them. This is referring, of course, to the new covenant. I'm going to do some theology for a second. The Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenant are what's called in the New Testament the covenants of promise. You and I, as a believer in this age, and specifically as a Gentile, meaning a non-Jew, we are grafted into that tree against nature. We are not special. When I say we, I mean this we, me. We partake of something that is not ours, and we do it because of Christ. Now, the new covenant is more than what this text says, because the new covenant also has promises to Israel in the future that God will restore Israel to the center of the world, and Jesus will rule and reign, and that's the promises about the land and that sort of thing. But as a believer in this age, we partake of that one element. So as we read this, understand, you only have this privilege because of Christ. Verse 17. Well, let's just do verse 16 again. This is the covenant, and the same word covenant, diatheke, can be translated testament. But covenant is proper. He says, this is the covenant that I will make with them, and specifically talking about Jewish people here. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember. What? Now, where there is remission of these things, there is no more offering for sin. Friends, I must address the word remission. Don't get nervous. The word forgiveness comes from German. It is a Germanic word that means to forgive. We know that. Remission for the average American today in the year 2020 is a word that means nothing. Are you listening? It is simply the Latin form of the word that means to forgive. The two words come from two different language groups. Remember, English is a conglomerate mess. We're primarily Germanic. Secondarily, because of from 1066 to 1400, we have a lot of French, i.e. Latin words. So when you see the word remission in Greek, it's just the word for forgiveness. For remission or forgiveness, same words. Got it? So let's read verse 18 one more time. Now, where remission or forgiveness is, of these is, there is what? No more. Once you are forgiven, you don't need to be forgiven again. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to the holiest. It's plural, like in the Old Testament. They had a holy place, but if you wanted to say the holy of holies, you would make the word plural. And I will talk about that as we move forward, but he's saying we have access into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. I'm going to speak this morning on a very simple subject, and it's the beginning of worship. No, I'm not going to discuss music. That is what Americans like to talk about. We're going to discuss worship. And by the way, do you have the right to approach God? That's what we're going to discuss. I have entitled this, An All Access Pass for Life. Father, thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you for reading this wonderful text, which has been in my heart, I think, for 40 plus years. I don't remember when I memorized Hebrews 10:19. It stays just as fresh and just as beautiful. It is the heart of the heart of the heart of anything we're going to discuss about worship. May we hear this morning this very simple, beautiful phrase. For those who are not saved in this room, it would be wonderful if today they would come to faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Father, this is so precious and so important. Bless now, I ask, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Was it 10 years ago? I have no idea. My wife and I decided to go to the four corners of the United States. We've now been there, I think, four times. Might have been 15 years ago. We were going to meet some folks that used to be members of this church, Tony and Rachel Cardenas. They were driving up from San Antonio, Texas, and they met us actually in Arizona. What was the name? Camp Verde. They met us there. They drove from Texas. We flew into Phoenix, drove up. We met them. And over the next couple of days, we spent 3 or 4 or 5 days with Tony and Rachel. Well, I made some mistakes. Have you ever made a mistake? By the way, most people go take trips. They never ask anybody that's actually been there. Do you think being someplace you might know more than a person that hasn't been there? What do you all think? Well, sadly, I never ask anybody. So we went, and we went to a nice place, some nice ruins the first day. And then we drove up to, I had found out the city. I got that from my call that we're supposed to get a hotel in. I think the city is called, and can I even pronounce the city? Tusayan, something like that. Nice place, very close to the Grand Canyon. It's the only place close to the Grand Canyon. But nobody told me it costs a lot of money to get in the Grand Canyon. I thought it, forgive me, I thought it was a national park. I thought it was part of my American heritage. Yes, it is, as long as you pay the entrance fee. So we went, we paid the entrance fee, which took my breath away at the time. This 10, 15 years ago, they said we could get a one-year pass, but it's like, well, we don't really have national places much in the east or in the center. So we just paid the fee and we went on up. But that's not the problem. Nobody told me to buy water before we went. We got to that little city. By the way, if you're not listening for the sermon, at least listen for the information. We went to that little city and I wanted to get a case of water. Now, I can go to Sam's Club and get a case of water for $4 or $4.50 of two really good waters. I remember walking, Jenny, you know this is true. I remember going into that store and they had a six-pack of bottled water and it was like $12. And I thought, is this a joke? I don't think we bought water at first. I think actually I went and talked to somebody and I said, there's got to be a store. And they said, yes, if you go back to Flagstaff, you can buy water cheaper. Well, I'm not driving an hour and a half back to Flagstaff. And then I found out that little city, which is a wonderful city, it is a wonderful little city, right by the Grand Canyon. It's like eating at O'Hare. Have you ever tried to eat a meal at O'Hare? Take your bank account with you. I mean, everything you buy there costs 3, 4, 5 times. Oh. So that was our first trip to the Grand Canyon. By the way, is the Grand Canyon worth it? Yes, it's wonderful, yes. But something happened 4 years ago. I don't know how it happened. I became a senior. And some other people whose names I won't mention, who are also seniors, said, you can get a pass. It's called a senior pass, but I want to read what's on the back. senior, listen to me, lifetime, 80 bucks. I can get into any national park in America, Jim, for free. That's who I learned it from Jim and Fawn. So, by the way, this year we went to several national parks. We went to Arches. We went to Canyonlands. We went several other places, and every time I had an all-access pass for life. Now, forgive me, it doesn't cover the food at the Grand Canyon. So it doesn't cover everything. My friend, we just read before us a beautiful text that talks about this in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, and really he's summing up, because we have through Christ the benefits of the New Testament, the New Covenant, and because of Christ, our sins have been remitted, or there's remission of sins, forgiveness, and we don't need to keep offering. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. All I'm going to do, friend, is break down this simple verse into four simple ideas. Number one, we have access. Oh, wait a minute. You say, Pastor, aren't you going to talk about music? Please look at me. Do you know the conversation about music among Christians becomes one of those things that is very repulsive to me? People say this. I had a woman in my office 20 plus years ago say, I just have to have my courses. I looked at her and said, does God need your courses? Who are you worshiping, yourself or God? You do understand, when you come to God, it's not really important what you like. The whole thing of access to God is about God, but we're not going to go to music today. We're just looking at the basic foundation of worship. And here it is. We have an all-access pass into the holiest. In the Jewish world, starting with the tabernacle and then Solomon's temple, we don't know as much about Zerubbabel's temple that was rebuilt in the 500s. But much smaller. And then when Jesus' day, Herod had made this temple one of the great wonders of the world. We do know this. In the tabernacle, Solomon's temple, and the New Testament, during Herod's temple, we know this. You just didn't go into the holy place or the Holy of Holies. Actually, archaeologists have found remnants during Jesus' days of signs written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And the signs say this, upon threat of death, do not enter. So the most important thing about our all-access pass is, what do we have access to? You see, if Jesus just loves you just as you are, and you're so wonderful, then we can talk about you singing your praise courses. But if we're talking about having access, not to the outward areas, the courtyards for the Gentiles, courtyards for the women, courtyards for the men during Jesus' day, people had access to that. But we're moving beyond that to the holy place. And then the backside of the holy place was called the Holy of Holies. Listen, the holy place is where John the Baptist's dad, Zechariah, went. A priest went there a couple times a day into the holy place and did certain things in the holy place. But into the holiest, or the Holy of Holies, that was a place one time a year, one person, the high priest, went. And look at me in the eyes. If you decided to go there, according to the Old Testament, God would kill you. So when I say we have an all-access pass, I'm saying we have an all-access pass into the holiest, the very holy of holy, the place where God would manifest his presence. We have an all-access pass into the holiness, holiest. We are on very sacred ground. Access into the very presence of God. No one could just go in. No one dared just go in. Now, in Jesus' day, I don't know if God would have killed somebody that went in, but the temple police had the right, and we found the remnants of this, to kill anybody that went into and started to go into the holy place, let alone the Holy of Holies. You just didn't do that. The high priest went in once a year, and only once a year. No one could just go into God's presence because of our sin. And since all of us are sinners, having access to the Holy of Holies would be a frightening thing, because it would be an unholy person going into a holy place. But the author of Hebrews is saying, we have an all access pass into the holiest, the very holy of holies, the very place that God chooses, so to speak, manifest himself. Turn your Bibles. Sorry, we're only going to do this once. Leviticus, please. Leviticus 16. We do not have time to read the chapter. I highly recommend you read the chapter. May I say this? The number one problem American Christians have is we don't think it's a big deal to have access to God's presence. We're not reading the scripture properly. Jesus becomes my boyfriend. God's the old man upstairs. Whew. Any Christian knows better than that. Because we've read the Old Testament, and we know in God's world, to have access to God, unbelievable privilege. Now, friends, you there in chapter 16, Leviticus? I'm going to read that in a moment. I'm going to read two other verses before, please. The high priest, who had access to the Holy of Holies, look up here, one time a year, when he went into the Holy of Holies, he was required to wear things on his robe. He was required to wear bells. Let me read it. It's in Exodus. I'll read it real quickly. Exodus 28, verse 33. It says, and beneath upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, meaning he's saying every other one, and a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. Verse 35 says, and it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. Chapter 30 says the same thing, that he's going to come in here with these bells on, and he says, it is a most holy unto the Lord. The idea being, friend, I'll just try to illustrate it in short steps. When the high priest went behind the curtain, by the way, and that curtain was ripped in half on the day of the cross, on the day of the crucifixion. It was not ripped in half from the bottom to the top. We didn't work our way to God. It was ripped in half from top to bottom. That's part of the analogy of this text. But when the high priest went behind that curtain one time a year, he had bells on. You say, why? How do you know God didn't kill him? To go into God's presence, friend, is the most holy thing. And the author of Hebrews is saying, we have an all-access pass into the holiest, into the holy of holy places. Leviticus 16. I'll just read a few of these verses. I would highly recommend you spend the time on the whole chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron. You remember, Nadab and Abihu had died. It says in the next line, it says, when they offered before the Lord and died. You see, two men that were Aaron's sons died doing wrong, because this going into the Holy of Holies is not a joke. You don't do your own thing. He goes on to say, the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, and that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not. Don't do whatever you want to do. He says, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Now, friends, for time, we can't read this whole chapter. This is talking about the Day of Atonement. Verse 8. Verse 8, and Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats in order for the high priest to go into the holy of holy places. They chose two goats. It tells you some more about them. Aaron is going to flip a coin, so to speak, cast lots. One of the goats, it says one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. There were going to be two goats. They're going to represent what Jesus was going to do. One goat was going to be killed. The goat's blood would be shed, and that pictures what Jesus did to pay for our sins. The other goat, you would pray on the goat, pray over the goat, you know, confessing the sins of the people. That goat was a scapegoat, and they would let it go, symbolizing when your sins are forgiven, they're gone. They're paid for, and they're gone. And friend, no one could go into the Holy of Holies unless somebody paid for this. And Jesus, not only his blood was shed, he also becomes the means of bearing the sins away. The two goats come together in Christ. Let's keep reading, please. Verse 9. Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. Verse 10. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. All the way down to verse 34. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. My friend, the scripture is saying that you and I'm going to get to why in a moment, but you and I have an all-access pass, not to someplace, not to some place where we still got to bring God down, but for unbelievable reasons. And the emphasis in the Greek New Testament is just over-exaggerated. It's like we have this access into the place. I mean, it's doubling up on this preposition of this motion. We get to go where a person could, the high priest could go one time of year. And we have an all-access pass into the very presence of God. And friend, in the old, think about this. Every Jewish believer hearing this are like, what? God had told Aaron, you just don't willy-nilly go into my presence like this. You do it once a year, you bring these two goats, and if you do it some other way, you're dead. Wait a minute. Aaron's two sons had been killed by God. Do you understand that? Nadab and Abihu, fire fell on them. And here the author of Hebrews is saying, because of what Christ did, we can go and have all access pass into the very holy of holies. Well, let's look back at Hebrews 10, verse 19, please. Hebrews 10 and verse 19. We have the second idea. I have said we have an all access pass into the holiest. But friend, this is not Jesus, my boyfriend. This is the God of the universe who is ultimately holy. And we have the privilege of having an all-access pass into the holiest. But why? We have to ask the question, why? Well, the text tells us, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Why? How? Why and how? By the blood of Jesus. Number two, we have an all-access pass into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Aaron would take two goats and the high priest that followed him. One goat would be killed to, so to speak, symbolically pay for sins. The other goat, the sins of the nation would be transferred to that goat. They'd send him into the wilderness. But friend, those were symbols. But Aaron did this once a year. But here's what happened, friend. The Son of God did this once and for all and forever. So we have access by the blood of Jesus for life. We'll talk about life later. So let me say it this way. I cannot come. Listen to me. See, my problem is I can't convince any of us that we don't have the right to go to God. Americans have the right for everything. It's my right. So when we deal with God, we assume it's our right. So let me just say what it's not. I cannot and do not have the right to come into the holiest because I am in some way privileged. Because I'm a man or because I'm a woman. Because I'm white or because I'm black or because I'm something else. I do not have the right or the privilege to come before God because of my ethnicity, whatever that ethnicity is. I do not have the right to come before God because of my nationality. Friend, I am an American. Don't have a choice. I was born here. My family's been here. It is a great privilege. When you travel, trust me, every place I've been, it is really nice to have that American passport. But look at me. That American passport doesn't mean anything to God. You're not privileged by that. You say, well, why do you deserve to be here? I'm an American. It's my right. No, I'm white. It's my right. The silliness that's been going on in our country, people claiming rights. Well, they think God is the same way. How about this? It's because of my class. I am sophisticated. Or, for all of you people that know country music and have friends in low places, Garth Brooks, you think because you're a redneck, God has blessed you. There is nothing in the Bible. None of us have access to God because of anything we are. Male, female, tall, short, skinny, not so skinny, rich, poor, sophisticated, unsophisticated. By the way, everybody thinks they're special. There's only one problem. In God's sight, we're all sinners. But we can have access in all access paths into the holiest, but it's by the blood of Jesus. It's not by me. Let me say this. It's not because of your money or your lack of money. It's not because of your intellect or your lack of intellect. It's not because of your ability or your lack of ability. God knows it's not because of your celebrity. In America now, celebrity wipes everything away. As long as you make money and you're on TV, you are so important. Please look at me. God is not interested in any of that foolishness about you. If we have access to the Father and to the Holy of Holy Places, which the whole Old Testament, think about this. From Moses' time in 1400s, 1400 years, over and over and over, the Jewish people, we should have it in our mind. You can't just go to God because you're special. You got to go by blood. But all of that was symbolizing one day the very Son of God would come and shed His blood. We would have access, all access pass into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I remember, I don't know how many years ago, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, President Obama was the president. I'll try to be nice, but it's hard. Somebody decided he wanted to visit President Obama. Do you remember? I mean, it happened, folks. The poor guy just, I don't know what people think, I don't know. You asked me what the idiots were thinking on January 6th, and my answer is, I have no idea, other than they were stupid. About as stupid as the people that burnt down Kenosha. But we got all kinds of stupid. But this guy decided he wanted to visit President Obama. Well, President Obama, by the way, do you think you go to the White House because you just want to go? You say, hey, I'm an American. It's my right. Well, I guess this guy thought this, so he went to the fence. I don't know if the fence is, I guess it's not electric, you know, this barriers. The guy got over. When he got over, he must have been pretty fast because he took off running. He got all the way to the White House. And from my understanding, sorry, because of political correctness, we now have to have women that are Secret Service. Well, I appreciate women very much. But if I want to fight somebody, I'd prefer to fight someone small than fight someone big. This poor girl got knocked out by this guy. But That idiot didn't knock the next guy out. You say, why? He didn't have an invitation. And you don't go into the White House just because you think it's my right. Friend, worship. Worship is sacred to me because I know this. Please look at me. I know something. Worship is going into the very presence of God. And I have no right to be there. The only hope I have to be there is what the text said. I have this all-access pass into the holiest. Why? By the blood of Jesus. That's my only access. Not because I'm something special, or I'm handsome or not handsome, tall or short, white or something else. None of that stuff matters. What matters is the blood of Jesus. I got to say this. I got to correct something. When it says blood of Jesus, please, there are creepy people in America that drain people's blood and put it in little vials. Look at me in the eyes, everybody. If you could get a vial of Jesus' blood, that would not ever give you access to the Father. The blood of Jesus is not talking about, I got a little vial, I have it around my neck. The blood of Jesus is simply this, friend. The blood of Jesus represents what? Him shedding his blood. Him giving his life. Him dying for your sins. His death. His burial. His resurrection. It's a symbol for all of that. So please don't get weird. Oh, I got a little vial of... I'm going to start selling vials of Jesus' blood so you have access. That's ridiculous. No, we have access because Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Now, Hebrews chapter 9, would you please? Hebrews chapter 9. We're just going to read through some verses in chapter 9 and chapter 10. Find it, Hebrews 9, verse 6. Friend, please look up here. I love it. It says it on the front and back. A lifetime senior pass. Please look at me. I had to pay $80 for it. You say, who does it cover? The nice part is it covers me and my wife. And if I had two friends, I could take them too. But I don't have two friends. It covers your car. It covers the people. Up to, I think it's four. $80. Look at me, friend. Do you know what worship is? It's not you paying for something. God help us. I hope you, you know, I could preach this every week and I have people that think they're okay because they're special. May I say this one more time? You are not special for who you are. You're just a sinner, just like me. None of us have any special privileges. The difference is, when Jim and Fawn told me about this and we went back out there, I thought, Jenny, we're getting one of these. It's $80. That's a lot of money. But think about this. If you go to three national parks, you paid that off in one time. So, and it's lifetime. And it's the people in your car. So we've been places and taken other people with us. I have a pass. The blood of Jesus, friend, doesn't mean I have a little vial around my neck. Or a it's not weird. It's simply saying, because just like that goat, the neck was cut, the blood was shed, Jesus gave his life. But in another sense, Jesus takes our sins away like the scapegoat. Let's look at Hebrews 9 and verse 6. I hope you like this as much as me. It says, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. This is the holy place. This is where Zechariah went. They did this every day. But unto the second went the high priest alone once every year. So it qualifies. The person that went into the Holy of Holies, that had to be the high priest. You could go one time a year, and you went alone. And it says, not without blood. Why? Because even then, symbolically, in order to go there, you had to go by the giving of a life. It says, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Verse 8, the Holy Ghost, this signifying, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. Doesn't mean Old Testament saints didn't have a relationship with God. But in its total clarity and the price having been paid hadn't yet happened while the first tabernacle was yet standing. Verse 9, which was a figure, parable, for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Verse 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Verse 11, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, his body, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And friends, now you're going to read one of my four or five favorite verses in the book of Hebrews. He says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, him shedding his blood, him giving his life, him dying in our place, him dying for our sins. It says, but by his own blood, he entered in, listen to this, once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Wow. My friend, why do you get to come? We drove to some place this summer. I can't remember what the park was. It was a big park. I remember I drove up and I had my card in my hand and I asked the lady, and she says, well, because of COVID, we're not touching the cards. But I just waved my card and we got to go through freely. Friend, I can go into the very presence of God anytime, any place, any way, not because of me, but because somebody has paid the price. And the price was the shedding of his own blood, the giving of his own life. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Friend, tonight when I put my head on the pillow, Kathy was here this last week. Hey, focus. This year, a man my age, Jerry Milburn, just died. One day that's going to happen to me. What is your right to go to heaven? What is your right to worship right now? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to the very holy of holy. Why? One reason. Not me, not how smart I am, not how good looking I am, not how wonderful I am, but by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9, verse 21. Look there, please. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. He's still talking about the Old Testament temple, tabernacle. He says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. The way you would sanctify something, cleanse something, was with blood. But then he makes this fundamental statement, and without the shedding of blood is no, what's that word remission mean? There is no forgiveness, friend. There is no remission. You see, we cannot come into the holy of holy places unless the blood of Jesus opens the way for us. We must come to Christ and trust him and find our only hope in his shed blood, or there is no remission. Chapter 10, verse 1. Chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come. So the law was like a shadow pointing forward to the beauty and the fullness of everything. It says, and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If you could sacrifice a goat or a sheep, and that would take care of the problem, then you wouldn't do it again. But you got to keep doing it because these are symbols of the ultimate sacrifice in the future. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Not possible. Let's look back at chapter 10, verse 19, please. I hope this is as much of, I love this text. By the way, friends, there's a place, I'm going to blame it on Atong because he's the one that started it. I love the place. I found some people don't love it. That's fine. You go to Taco Bell. Atong introduced a bunch of us to the fish boil in Lake Geneva, not in Lake Geneva, in Genoa City. And I go there every time. My wife, she is very, you know, self-controlled, so she buys the fish only. I always buy, you already know what I buy, don't you, Atong? I buy the ticket that says fish, chicken, and ribs. You say, why? Because I want at least for it to be available. And they give you a ticket. And you go up to the counter and you hand them the ticket. They rip the ticket in half. And then you put it in your pocket. Because why? That ticket is your access back to getting more food. One time I lost my ticket. And I was nervous, and I was thinking, I'm not going to get, because I'm so thin, that I was thinking, I'm not going to get any more food. And she said, oh, it's okay. Look at me, friend. We have access to our Father by the blood of Jesus. It's an all-access pass into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Number three, by the way, we'll read the text. For all believers. This is the beautiful part. It's for all of us who are believers. Look what it says in verse 19. Having, therefore, brethren. The author is not saying, for pastors, you have access, but other people don't. Or it's not a Catholic teaching, you know, the priest can pray and go to the Father, but you can't. Oh, no. This is what we have as our common inheritance. Friends, please look at me. If you're not 60, forgive me, you can't get one. You got to be, by the way, there's one thing so far age 60 has given me, right there. Everything else has been bad. I got pains. I got aches. I've had all kinds of stuff. But one thing I get is a privilege. I get an all-access pass to our national parks, but I paid for it. Friend, here's what's beautiful. There's no limit in here. This is for all of God's people. Brethren here, it's what it says in Greek. It also means sisters. It means anyone who is saved. So we have an all-access pass into the holiness by the blood of Jesus for all believers, every single believer. Years ago, I started going to the Philippines, which looks like I'm not going again, second year in a row. First couple years I went to the Philippines, I just flew. I found tickets that were cheap, flew to the Philippines. About my third year, I flew to the Philippines on Korean. Now, I'm speaking for me 100%, not about you, this is me. When I flew on Korean my first time, this was my first thought. If I continue to come to the Philippines, I will never fly anything other than Korea. You say, why Korean Airs? This is me, not you. Well, number one is it's bigger. Why are American Airlines, forgive me, smaller than Korean Airlines? There's more rooms on Korean Airlines than American Airlines. Have we looked at Americans recently? I first of all, need to get three seats to set in. And you know, folks, it's okay to do that from here to St. Louis. You don't want to fly 18 hours doing this. Korean Airlines is comfortable. The Korean people in Korean Airlines and the airport is the cleanest place I've ever been on earth. When you go into the Korean airline airport at, where's that place at? What? Incheon. It's near Seoul. When you go in there, friend, they often have classical concerts in the airport. They have a marble place that you can go and sit with marble steps, marble seats, and they have I've never been to a place like this. Wonderful. You say, do you like it all? No, they don't have Taco Bell online. They do have Korean food, and some of it doesn't always, you know, but that's not the reason I'm telling the story. Oh, by the way, when you go there, they have signs that say you can drink from the water fountain. Have you been to the Philippines? Don't drink from the water fountain. I love Korean Airlines. I got on Korean Airlines, started taking miles. One day I had my ticket. I went up to the lady and I said, I was just talking to her. She looked at my ticket and there was a little something written under the ticket someplace that said the exact words, morning calm. Now, forgive me, friends. I thought morning calm was a Korean phrase that got translated badly into English, and it meant something like, stay calm in the morning. But I found out morning calm gave me more privileges. You say, how many more privileges does it give you? There's only one privilege that I just love about it. When I fly out of the Philippines and the lines are somewhere between 200 and 200 miles, I mean, there's just lines of people. If you're, are you ready? Morning calm, you don't even wait in line. You just go right to the counter. But friends, if you're new on Korean Air, you don't have that access. Now you say, are you still morning calm? No. I am now elite. But that's not the bad part, friend. I still don't have any, I can't figure out the difference of the privileges. If I could ever get to the next level up, I get to go into the lounge and sleep and eat for free. Then I will be sophisticated. You say, why do you tell that story? Are you all hearing me? See, you thought I told that story to be funny. Do you realize if you come to Christ in simple faith, we all have the same all access pass. So you know what? You see the line of people trying to get in heaven. You don't have to worry about that. You just walk right up to the counter by the blood of Jesus. Because it's for all believers. All of us have this access. No distinctions. It does feel good to get on an airplane and there's like 400 or 500, it seemed like there's 4,000. It's probably not quite that many. And they're all in the, you know, they're all cramped in this little place and jockeying for position. And they say, if you're morning calm or you're elite, come for, and boy, you just walk right up and get on the, oh, I like it. But my friend, that compares nothing to what we have in Christ. Nothing at all. The Bible says this in Ephesians 2:18, for through him, through Christ. By the way, that's another way of saying his death, his burial, his resurrection. That's another way of saying him shedding his blood. That's another way of saying his blood. For through him, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him. Friends, we have all of this, and we have all of it, not just part of it. There's no elite members. There's no gold, platinum, whatever. Friends, we all have all of it simply because of what Jesus did. We have that access. Well, I want you to look back at Hebrews 10, verse 19. We close with the last idea. There's only four broad ideas in this text. I like all of them. We have an all-access pass. Into where? The holiest. The Holy of Holies. Not a joke. Not, yeah, Jesus is my boyfriend. He's in my back pocket. I use him as... No. By the way, this is serious business for a Christian because we understand I have no right to go there. But it's through Christ that I can go there. We have an all-access pass into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by his death, burial, resurrection, by his shed blood, by the giving of his life, through him, for all believers. So I say it again. Please look at me. There are no gradations. None of us, by the way, we all have it all. How do you like that? We all have it what? All. Every bit. Last concept. We have an all-access pass with boldness. So we have this all-access pass into the holiest by the blood of Jesus for all believers with boldness. But what in the world is boldness? Boldness is certainly not arrogance. It doesn't mean I can just tell God a thing or two. That is the antithesis of Christianity. But boldness means this, friend. In the ancient Greek world, it was a privilege in the Greek world given to citizens of Greece, where a citizen of Greece always had the right to speak in the public setting or in the public government. You could have, it's called all speech. You could go and anytime, because you were a citizen, you had the right to speak. So in this sense, friend, we have all of this with boldness. I'm going to explain what boldness is and then illustrate it. Boldness means this. I, or you, if you're a believer, if you've been saved by Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, I or you can always come to God. Always. I and you can always talk, share my heart, unburden myself before the Lord. I and you can always come and ask. I may not get what I want, but I can always come and ask. I can always come into His presence and minimally experience His love and His care and His sovereignty and His mighty power over me. I can always ask for His will to be done. I don't always get what I want. But when it says I can come into the holiest by what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, shedding by the blood of Jesus, and that all of us have the same access as believers, I can come boldly, which means, friend, I can come before the Lord and whatever my needs and burdens and problems, I can pour out my heart. It does not mean I can go, God, you got to do what I want you to do. Really? Here's what it means. Let me give you an analogy. By the way, friends, it's important that you get this. I have a door upstairs. I'm going to use people in this room. One of them is not in this room, but if you know her, she's probably in the nursery. One of them is Emily. If I took Emily Tupper, or frankly, Emily Chotla is just as bad, they're both sweet. Emily Chotla calls me, and it's almost like, Pastor, I'm sorry. She's starting to sound like Pochungai and other people. You're going to have to start saying what she says, sorry, sorry, right up front. And that doesn't mean sorry. That means a little store. But, you know, Emily is sweet. The other Emily is sweet. That's one group. By the way, if Emily comes to my door and she knocks, she would look in the window. Folks, I can't hear that. I can't even hear anything. I'm old. That's one person. It's the first amen I got all day out of Nancy. Thank you, Nancy. Then there's my daughter. She gets boldness, maybe a little too much. You say, does she knock? Just comes on in. Why? She thinks she has the right to come in. By the way, does she have the right? You just said it. Yes, because she's my daughter. Do you always give her what she wants? Somebody said, yes, trust me. She doesn't like it when I say no, still. Then there's the third one. There's Jesse. He doesn't know how to knock very well. He has knocked a couple times. When he comes in, let me ask you, do I give him what he wants? If he wants coffee, yeah, sure. He wants a soda, no problem. Would you like the fourth piece of chocolate? Sure. Jesse, would you like my car keys? Now, friends, please hear me, and I'm done. This is the most precious text for us as believers. Worship is not this. We're trying to somehow get God's attention. You're missing the whole point. Worship is of salvation, that you and I have an all-access pass into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. Why? Because of what Jesus did for all believers. So there's not like, oh, Pastor Warren really has access, but, you know, I'm kind of down here in the, I'm not yet morning calm. or I'm not yet elite. Oh, that's ridiculous. We all have this. And friends, here it is. Are you listening? Here it is. Boldness does not mean any kind of arrogance or stupidity. Boldness means this. You can look at me. You can always go in the door. You can always talk to the Lord. You can always unburden yourself. You can always pray. You can always experience His love, His kindness. And that's true of every single believer. Now look at me. When Jim and Fawn told me about this, first place we stopped, we got one. I don't even remember where it was. It might have been at Arches, actually. $80. I paid for it. It's an all-access pass to the national parks. Listen to me. I have an all-access pass to the very presence of God. Paid for. Not by me. I couldn't pay for it. By Christ. But it's for all of us. You're not different than me. I'm not different than you. We all have this access. And listen, and we can come, not God. No. We come, and frankly, Judy, what you say is true. Amy can come in there because she's my daughter. Jesse can come in there because I like her more, I like him more than Amy. Am I going to give them everything they want? Well, Jesse, probably. Amy, no. She wants something right now that I'm not going to give her, and she hadn't figured that out yet. God's not going to, He's not the candy man. He's the sovereign God of the universe. But our God wants us to come. Friends, this is the heart of worship. An all access pass into the holiest by the blood of Jesus for all believers with boldness. I got to just say one thing and we're done. This all access pass is for life. If you're a Christian, how long are you living? So it's for life too. You just live longer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the centrality of Christ. Thank you for the access we have. What more can be said this morning? Yes, it's kind of nice if I went over to someone's house that I know and they love me and I love them, they'd probably invite me in. For reasons that are just impossible to grasp, you invite us in to your very presence. We pay nothing because we could not pay for it. It's for all believers, not just for one or two or special class. And we can come with boldness. We don't have to be shy. We don't have to be embarrassed. We can come and unburden and pray and ask and beg and sing and worship and all the things that we do and give thanks. And we can do it for life, eternal life. Father, thank you. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.